Hey, Closet Busters, come on and gather around. It's time once again to kick down those closet doors of life. We're here to escape our BS, explore our fears, and elevate our self-expression. I'm your host, Rick Clemens, bold move expert and coming out coach, and I'm going to take you to the party, the pulpit, the wake, and back to the party of living your life uncloseted. So come on, grab hold of yourself and get ready to step out, step up, and step in to living your truth as we explore more stories, tips, and tricks for living your life uncloseted. Now let's get to the show. Hey there, closet dwellers and bold move makers. You know where you're at. It's Life Uncloseted. I'm Rick Clemens, the bold move expert, and yes, the coming out coach. And we're going to really come out today in something completely different than we've done in a while. Well, actually, I don't think we've ever done anything quite like this, because we're going to connect some threads that you've never seen done, because there's absolutely many, many threads in life that connect all of us together. And my friend that's coming on the podcast, she has this really cool concept of a red thread. No, it's not the one you pull out of your clothes and everything comes apart. It's actually a red thread that connects everything together, whether it's a soulmate, and there's actually an Asian philosophy about this red thread soulmate stuff, or whether it's about you finding the thread that puts your life together, helps you be able to communicate better, or helps you even come out of those closets and make your bold moves. And I have to tell you, this gal has become a pretty crucial part of my life. She's helped me bring Life Uncloseted to being, helped me put my bold move stuff together, and I couldn't think of a better person on Valentine's Day to help us put some self-love in play, find some ways to connect our business, our love lives, our relationships, and find the red thread that truly helps us have the voice of love and to love our bold lives of living uncloseted. My friend, Tamsin Webster. So thanks for being here, Tamsin.
Oh, I'm thrilled. And I think that's the best intro I've heard in a really long time. How lovely. What a treat your audience gets every time they listen to you, Rick.
Thank you. How nice. Those are my favorite things to kind of write and put together. And I write it all out. And then I'm like, okay, I just kind of scan it as I'm going. But gosh, whatever comes up, comes up. So I feel blessed that, you know, I've been given that gift to be able to just go. And it has to do a lot with the connections I have with my guests, too. You know, yeah. I can do this because I actually have a really good connection with 99% of my guests. So,
it all starts with who you're for, after all, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And who you're for is about finding that thread. And so let's kind of dive into this whole red thread concept that you have become the queen of and have really just beautifully started to help people see that it's not just a thread. There's these interesting red threads. So why don't you give us the philosophy behind what red thread really is?
Sure. Well, red thread is a phrase that Scandinavians in particular use all the time, but it's not as familiar a phrase over here. And when they use it over there, they mean, what is the thing that makes things make sense? What's the theme? What's the through line? What's the thing that connects all of this together? Yep. And when I first heard it, I was like, oh, A, that's awesome. I love that. Right. And then B, I went and figured out, well, why do they call it the red thread? And you mentioned the red thread of Eastern philosophy, but by and large, they think that the origin of this red thread, the thing that ties things together, comes from the ancient Greek myth of Theseus and the Minotaur. Mm. And, you know, Minotaur was the monster that lived in a labyrinth, and Theseus, in order to save the city of Athens, had to go in and kill the monster. But more importantly, he had to escape the maze. And I think a lot of people overlook that part of it. And it was particularly important for Theseus to escape, because right. if he didn't escape, Athens wouldn't survive.
Right, exactly.
So he had this red thread with him that he used to trace his path to the monster so he could retrace the path to the way out. And so with all the work that I've done over the years as a message strategist and a brand strategist, and honestly, I saw this in the years I was a Weight Watchers leader, and certainly have seen it in the work that I've done with TEDx, that when we produce something, whether it's a business that we're starting or a positioning statement that we're putting out there or a talk or a book, there are always these consistent themes to them that if you look, you can see that there are these things that tie it all together. And I saw that, had the name The Red Thread, and said, you know what? If I can help people find that, businesses find that, then they have an incredibly powerful thing to not only help them understand what it is that got them here, but also to understand exactly just how much they have to take them exactly where they want to go.
Absolutely. And I think you started to see this. I know you just alluded to it, even in your work with Weight Watchers, even in your work in branding and messaging. And then suddenly this thing kind of drops in your lap, which is, I'm going to take it somewhere that Tamsin actually helped me with. This Uncloseted podcast actually dropped in the lap of the work we were doing. We saw the bold moves. We saw this stuff. But what's so interesting is red threads, at least from my perspective, just seem to finally drop in your lap. And you're like, oh my gosh, this makes sense. Whether it's your weight loss journey, whether it's your relationship journey, whether it's your business journey, whether it's a speaking journey that you want to be on a TEDx stage, when you finally can see the beautiful red thread, it is that moment. You know, it just, whoosh, here it is.
Because what you'll see is that you have always been trying to achieve certain types of things. There's always something that you're going for. You know, you're always trying to, you know, I know a thing for me is like, I'm always trying to make it easier for people, easier for me, easier for other people to do whatever it is that they're trying to do. All of us have problems that we're drawn to solve over and over and over again. So, you know, for me, for instance, I'm really drawn to, you know, problems of efficiency where I see people's energy being wasted. I am like a moth to the flame attracted to problems of gaps between potential and reality. Like, so if somebody or a company says, we want to be this, but we're this now, how do we close that? Then I'm like, let me get all over that. I love that.
Right.
You know, each of us has these truths about ourselves and the world, these ideas that guide how we do what we do. And if you go back and look at what you've done, you will see these patterns over and over again, these goals that come up, these problems that you'd love to solve come up, these ideas, and all of those add up to whatever your particular set of tools are that you use to that. I mean, for me, because I want to make things easy, because I'm drawn to closing gaps and efficiency, because I believe, for instance, that everybody already has all the tools they need, I'm a process girl. I'm a framework person. Because that's the easiest thing that's easiest, fastest way for me to help somebody change something. But everybody has them. I mean, people have tools of empathy, or they have tools of systems, or they have tools of spotting trends. And, you know, so, and they're tactical tools too. Obviously I've spent all my career in some form of communication. So obviously, you know, I take what I do to words, because I think words are the currency of ideas. So we have to be able to speak them to do that. But we have these patterns. And when you can see these patterns and embrace them, not look at it and go, oh my gosh, like look at what they brought me to. But in fact, look at it from the perspective of, look at these muscles that I've built. Look at these strengths that I have, that there are these things that you know how to solve and do it over and over again. Like that's enormously powerful.
So why do you think it is, and I'm going to put it in your terminology, why do you think it is we ignore these red threads in our lives?
Oh, that is a complicated question. I think the truest answer to that is that they are so deeply part of who we are that we don't see them. Mm-hmm. And here's what I mean. I think, you know, another way to think about, you know, a red thread is that it's your worldview. It's the lens through which you look at the world, but we don't usually even realize that we're looking through the world through a lens, right? That our lens is different than other people. Yep. Another way to think of it is as the operating system, like a computer has. You know, you think of an operating system as the set of commands in a computer that tells it to behave in a certain way or to look a certain way. And to me, the red thread is that. But just like a computer can't see its own code, unless we're really looking for it, we don't go looking for the lenses. We don't go looking for the code. We don't go looking for that operating system. And so I think more often than not, we just don't realize that we are operating in positive patterns. And of course, there's some we all have negative patterns, but there's way more positive patterns that we're operating from. And I just don't think we see them.
You know, it's interesting because there was a red thread that happened this morning before we hopped on this podcast. I was working with one of my clients and he's struggling in three areas. He's struggling in his career, in relationships, and kind of in his physical well-being. Although, you know, if you saw this guy, you go, seriously, he looks like he's a model that just stepped out of the REI catalog, you know, but he's not feeling good about himself. And we all, you know, we have those moments, right? So we've been working around career and everything. And today he really brought up the whole physical well-being. Like, I've been doing a cleanse and I've talked to a nutritionist. And I need to, you know, I feel heavier than I've been in a couple of months. And I said, you know what? I think you just hit on, I actually used your terminology. I said, I think you just hit on the red thread of your life. He goes, what is the red thread? And so I kind of took him through this. And I said, what I've observed about you is when you don't feel physically good about yourself, then you don't feel good about your career. You don't feel good about what you're trying to accomplish in your relationships. And I said, that's the red thread. The thread is this one thing is when you feel completely good physically, then you can feel really good in your relationship. You can feel good in trying to, you know, do career moves that you're doing. You can feel good in your creativity. And it was like this huge, pun intended here, red light bulb just went off over his head. Cause it's like, he saw that that is the thread that ties everything together for him. Mm-hmm. When he feels really physically good, everything else can start to happen. And it was a huge shift.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's going to be something that, you know, that physical thing, but there's probably also some kind of value or belief that he has underneath that physicality piece of it that explains all of that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it is so powerful. I mean, are there people who, and yes, of course, there's plenty of times where we discount some of these strengths because they feel so easy to us. And I think we've all seen that where we're like, well, why would I value this? Like, it's just, I could do it in my sleep. I could do it hungover. I could do it whatever. And you're like, why is that important? And we don't realize that not everybody, it's not that easy for everybody else. Like, exactly. It took me a long time to realize that not everybody spots those gaps of between, you know, energy and power, for instance. And, you know, and I realized that, once I realized that my lens was actually different, then I realized that that was powerful because it meant that people didn't see things the same way that I did. But it also means other people don't see the same things I do, which makes other people endlessly fascinating to me because I always want to know what their worldview, what their red thread is, because it allows me to make, you know, to keep that metaphor going, it allows me to make the fabric of my life richer because it means I can see how to weave in other perspectives, other people, other people's capabilities and skill sets. It means that, you know, I absolutely believe that the strength of my network and the strength of my support system comes because I've intentionally sought out people who don't think like I do because they fill in the gaps in that fabric that I can't, no one person possibly could. Mm-hmm. So
I'm sitting here laughing at a red thread you and I hit on when we were doing work together. That was kind of probably one of the most shocking red threads that I could pursue. And I haven't gone there yet because I'm waiting to go, okay, do I want to go down this route? But one of the red threads was when we talked about, you know, the similarity of coming out of the closet and being a Ku Klux Klan member. How there's a red thread between those two things. And I said that to a few of my friends. They're like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, think about it. Yeah. Think about the closet that the Ku Klux Klan people sit in and how people look at them from a worldview. But then you do the same thing and look at somebody who's LGBTQ. And there are people who don't get that either. This is those interesting moments, as you just said, that if I can see the red thread of somebody else's life, I better understand them. I can also better relate to them. And then there's more dialogue, there's more communication, there's more embracing, there's more empathy. All that stuff seems to fall in
place. Yeah, I mean, because you are so drawn to, well, you can see through doors, right? I think that that's, you know, if I were to describe like the problem piece of, you know, the problem that you're drawn to is like you see through doors. Like if you see a block, like if you see somebody's put up a block around, like that there's something in front of them, there's a label or some kind of physical or mental or psychological block. Like what's amazing about you, Rick, is that you see through that. And not everybody sees that. I mean, there's plenty of people. We know that we all have friends. We all have our own ability where you see that block. And that's it. Like that, you don't see beyond that. But that's a great example of, you know, when we each, you know, it's not just like superpowers and stuff like that. I really like to think about it from the perspective of what are the problems that you solve that nobody else solves in quite that way and, or that you're drawn to solve. Because we have such strength in that. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, like I said before, I think we discount it because we don't always see how a strength in one area can apply to what we perceive to be a weakness in another. And I saw this over and over again when I was a Weight Watchers leader. You know, for instance, you know, there would be this, you know, I had a member who was an accountant and yet she was struggling with managing her weight. And so we had a conversation one day because, you know, random piece about my background. I have an MBA, like I understand accounting. Like, and I was like, well, what if you thought about this the way you think about the books? Like, could we think about it in the same way? And she was like, it just never occurred to her to take this incredible strength that she had about thinking about how, you know, things balanced against each other, you know, in an objective way and apply this to how she was eating. But once she took the emotion out of it, once she could apply a skill that was already strong to something else, then there was no stopping her because all of a sudden now she wasn't trying to battle against, here's a thing I don't know how to do. She was operating from this position of strength of, here's a thing I know how to do backwards and forwards. And now it's an adventure. It's an interesting challenge to apply it to a different place.
This is where I take clients often and say, why are you reinventing the wheel? You've already got the thread. If you know how to have a conversation, so especially when in my coming out world, you know, if I'm doing somebody who's coming out of the closet, if I'm working with them on that and they've been married and they're like, I don't know how I'm going to have this conversation with my spouse. I'm like, yeah, I totally get it. But guess what? You already have the tools to do this. You've had difficult conversations about having children. You've had difficult conversations about getting married. You've had difficult conversations about finances. Yes, this is a biggie. It's one you've never, you've never traversed this mountain before, but you've traversed parts of that mountain before. And it's about tapping in and finding. And I love how you did the connection there with the account, because I think every one of us in the closets that we have, if we look, okay, so we're going to go right to where Tamsin hit on something really big in our work. If we look inside the closet, everything that's in the closet is already in there to help you come out of that closet. And that's what you just said about the accountant. In her closet was everything she had to start to relate to her weight loss journey, but it was in the closet of how she relates to business and accounting.
Right.
And she brought those tools that were in the closet into her weight loss journey and helped her be able to come through those closet doors. And it's amazing. That's
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, and it's a phrase I developed in the years that I was doing Weight Watchers, was that the biggest leaps start from the surest ground, right? Mm-hmm. So because you have, there's more to push off of, there's more to push from. And a lot of times it doesn't matter where you built up the strength or how, but you have it. So use it.
Yep.
So there's this fascinating thing there. A couple months ago, my sons were invited to a rock climbing birthday party. And my older son decided he wanted to climb all the way to the top. So this wasn't just like some playground rock wall. This was like, you know, however tall they are, but like legit high. And I was like, all right. So strapped in there in our harness. And, you know, he did what any novice rock climber would do. He would, you know, on his absolutely determined to get to the top, he would grab a rock and then try to pull. And he would get tired about halfway up and then he would stop and he would rappel back down. And then one of the people who was working there, you know, said to him, you know, your hands are necessary because they tell you which direction to climb, but the strength is in your legs. So grab where you're trying to go, but rather than pull yourself up, push from the strength that you have. So push with your legs, push up, then grab the next leg and then push up. And to me, that one story of my son is everything that I'm about. And I think the red thread helps you do. It basically says, you know what? It's okay. You should have this big, high goal to climb to the top of the wall. And you do need to reach out in ways that are uncomfortable. But the way to get yourself to that next place is to push from what you've got. And I think that the red thread, as it turns out, ends up being a fairly simple way for people to reveal these strengths that they have been ignoring, not consciously and not but because it never occurs to us if we're climbing a wall that because we walk every day, our legs are strong enough to get us up the wall. Like we think because our legs are good for going like horizontal on the ground, like why would they help us go up?
Right.
But if you just put them in that position, they will work for you. And that's what all of these pieces of a red thread are really about.
But I think you just kind of answered the question that I asked a bit ago of why do we ignore these red threads? I think it's the subconscious is what helps us actually ignore this. We get so used to doing something, we don't realize we actually can do this. We just got to think about it from a different way. And as you said, you know, and of course, you know, I'm going to have to send Tamsin a check because she just hit on something really big about Rick looking through doors. I'm like, okay, that's golden. That's like, there I go. I got another bit to use in my stuff, but it is kind of, it's a really good description of what I do. I see through the doorways. It's like, what is that? And when I see through the doorways and help you see through that doorway, that's when you make the bold move to uncloset your life. Boom, done. We just did, you know, so yeah, the check's in the mail. But it was brilliant because it is that thing that I think so often we get comfortable, we get used to doing things, and we think, oh, this is the way I have to do it. Yet there's so many other ways we could do this.
Right. Right.
And a lot of times it's just tapping back into what's already in there, which is actually the thread that carries us forward.
It's it's a reason why so much of the work that I do, I'm just listening to, you know, the metaphors and the phrases that people are already using, because there's a reason why you settle into a way you describe things. You know, there's a reason why that's a comfortable way for you to think about the work that you do, Rick. And so it's really just about saying, okay, well, if this is already a comfortable frame for you, then what's a way for me to put within the context of what I'm seeing for you back in that frame? And then it's going to feel even tighter to what you do. So yeah, it's just really about, that's what I said, like, a computer can't see its own code, but if you go back and listen, you will see it, like, and you'll hear it. And it's one of those reasons why so often it's important to talk things through with somebody else. But even if you're not talking it through with somebody else, even just talking out loud, recording it, and then listening back to yourself, because of how your brain works, you're actually going to process your own voice as not you. And that's really important, because then you can start to hear it differently. And it's different than just thinking it out in your head, because
absolutely,
it's different. But when you speak it out loud, your brain hears it like you're talking to somebody else. And it's about noticing what are the frames that you put on the world. And so, you know, so often, you know, when I'm working with someone or working with a company, you know, there's a reason why somebody's drawn to photography, or someone ended up in marketing, or someone's an engineer, or that was a choice, even if they've switched off of that. Yep. So a couple of my clients, you know, they started to do one thing and now something else, but there was something that drew them to each of those choices, right? Absolutely. There was something about being an engineer. And so the more that we can say, well, okay, engineers tend to be process oriented. They tend to be very efficiency oriented. Okay. Now let's look at what you're trying to do now. Okay. You see, there's going to be that red thread. There's going to be that through line that says, well, the reason why you were drawn to this thing is going to show up in this other thing that you're doing. And absolutely, there's power there, and there's enormous power there.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we tie this together into, you know, here it is Valentine's Day, and people go, well, how does this all relate to love and relationships? It's all thread.
Oh, yes.
It's yeah. You can't, and I can't remember who said this. I know it's somebody in my past recently, but whatever is happening in your work life is a reflection of what's happening in your personal life. What's happening in your personal life is a reflection of what's happening in your work life. It's all the same thread.
Because it's all you. Yeah, absolutely.
It's all your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. And back to what you said earlier about, once we understand somebody else's red thread, their map of the world, the way they see it, then that's where the whole love relationship thing starts to tie together. You know, it's kind of like the love languages. It's that
absolutely
is a perfect example of using a piece of the red thread. If you know somebody's love language, then you're much more capable of communicating with them than if you don't.
Yeah. So as I say about my husband and partner, he drives in my blind spots, and you can use this thinking about the red thread to really see why, when things work really well between two people, they work well. And when they don't, why they don't. And there's usually, when they work well, it's because there is consistency or compatibility in those pieces of the red thread, that you are trying to achieve certain goals together, that there are similar goals. And if there's a gap there, then there's probably going to be a gap in the relationship. You know, when it works well, there's consistency or compatibility in the kinds of problems that you solve. So, you know, Tom and I both tend to see gaps, but we see them in different, I see gaps, he sees clusters, if that makes any sense. And so it's actually really useful because he'll see a grouping of things and go, why is that grouping of things there? And I'll see an absence of things and say, why is the absence there? And so that, in that way, we have a very compatible problem solving, right? You know, our core beliefs are fairly consistent as well. And, but then in all of that, because there are little differences, they add up to different approaches. So you know, we joke because one way to start to uncover pieces of your red thread is to ask yourself, what are some of the quotes or proverbs or mantras that really speak to you? And so, you know, I will often say that the proverb that suits me for at least how I approach things is a stitch in time saves nine. You know, do a little work now, you're going to save a whole bunch of work later. Yep. Speaks to the efficiency and all of that. So I asked Tom the other day, I was like, well, what's yours? And he says, second mouse gets the cheese. So if you think about that, what that means is he's not necessarily looking for the most efficient route. He's looking for the best route, and he's willing to let other people experiment and fail first. And what's fascinating is, you know, is that the source of conflict sometimes between us? Sure.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Because I'm like, where's the thing? Let's get to the process. I want to figure out the process. And he's like, well, wait a minute. Does there have to be a process? Can we just see, you know? And so, but if you understand that about each other, then you are in a position of being able to be appreciative of where those two red threads come together rather than saying, oh, let's try to do a tug of war because I think mine's better. Like I am so... You just understanding that about him made it so much easier for me to be able to, in those moments where that conflict comes up, to go, oh, okay, you're second mousing me. That's fine. Like, I get it. You know, and he's like, you're stitching timing me. So that's fine. And but it's good because there's that, it's a reminder that, as I said earlier, we drive in each other's blind spots. And so I think that.
Oh, I think most really so powerful. Successful relationships. That's what happens. Mm. Is you let each other be in each other's blind spots. You know,
right.
You know me well enough at this point. I'm like high energy. I'm like, let's get it done. Let's go do it. And my husband is like, okay, well, what happens if you slow down? I don't like to slow. I mean, you know, it's like, okay, I'll slow down. And it's interesting now that we've made the move. I'm in a town now where, okay, so it's San Luis Obispo and the initials are SLO and life in slow is slow. It's slower. Yeah. It's not, I don't want anybody to go from here, and especially any of my new neighbors now, I'll probably get booted out of the community for saying that. But it's just a much slower pace of life. And as I was telling Tamsin before we even started recording this today, I'm so much more relaxed. I'm so much more less stressed. And I'm realizing, taking a little bit of slow time and letting things happen is actually some of the best things that can happen in your relationship too.
Right.
You know, as you were talking, I'm like, you know, you can't thread your partner's needle until you understand their red thread. That was
right.
Right. Okay, so now we're even. I don't have to write you back. I just gave you a thing. You go, oh, Rich just gave me something there.
That's right. I mean, what's particularly significant about what you just said is that when it comes to, you know, I think a lot of people say, what's the most important thing in a successful relationship? And people say communication. It's not that it's not true, but I saw somebody recently say, no, actually, it's about managing expectations, and communication is necessary to get there, but it's actually the management of expectations. It's the most important part. And so what's significant about you saying about, you know, you can't thread somebody else's needle until you know what kind of thread's going to work. Like, that's what it's about. It's about understanding their expectations, not yours. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's being able to go into a conversation with Tom or with one of my kids and knowing what is it that they're always trying to get? Like, what is the goal they're trying to get? Or what's the kind of problem that's really resonant for them? Or what's the belief that's really important to them?
Absolutely.
It becomes so much easier to understand their expectations and then manage them appropriately. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been able, you know, there was one day when my son was just beside himself. He was so upset with something that had happened at school. And it was this, you know, the short version of it is that, you know, he got excluded from a conversation and then he got mad when somebody else did the same thing back to him. I mean, you know, so it's classic kid thing.
Yeah.
But it was, when I had this conversation, I said, well, first of all, I said, let's look at what you're doing. Like, would you agree that you are asking to be judged on your intent what you were trying to do, but you're judging her on the action. Like, you're not listening to what she was trying to do. You're judging her on the fact that she closed you out, but you want her to judge you on what you were trying to do and not the fact that you should. He was like, yeah, this is the danger of having me as a mother. And then I said, the second thing, I was like, and I know something that's really important to you, Thomas, is that you really think it's important for things to be fair, that for rules to be applied equally, right? And he's like, yeah. And I said, so let's think about what you're asking her to do, that you're asking her to follow a different rule than you're asking. You know, and like, do you understand now why she was so upset? And he was like, yeah, okay, I get it. And then he went and apologized to her the next day. And I'm like, oh, sweetheart. But that's the kind of thing that I'm saying. If we really understand, I think a lot of times we think that the people that we're with are mysterious to us. But if we can look at it and realize that we all have these same basic components to our worldview. We have these same basic components to our operating system. We're trying to get things. We see problems that we're trying to solve. We have these basic values and beliefs, and we have these consistent approaches that we take to try to solve these problems. And they're not always the same thing, which is why I don't believe in one passionate and one purpose. I think we mix and match as we need to. But if we can start to look for those things in the people around us, then we have an opportunity not just to, you know, make the relationship stronger, but then we have an opportunity, particularly if it's somebody that we love, to help them see the strength in themselves with what they've got. And I think that's, you know, what better thing on a Valentine's Day than talk about what you can give back to the people that support you most.
And when you are able to see that red thread in the relationship, I know for me, and I'll use this example because we just went through this. We just, you know, as we're moving into the house, lots of new stuff's coming in. And in my new office, we wanted a guest bed that we didn't want it out where it would take up a whole bunch of space. So we bought a Murphy bed. So the Murphy bed came in this past week. And as most things that you know you have to assemble, it takes much longer than you think it's going to take, right? However, we did know this because we looked at the reviews online and everybody's like, it's going to take you like 7 hours. I'm like, it's not going to take me 7 hours. I'm a contractor's kid. I can do this, right?
At 7 hours later.
I'm like, okay, it's 7 o'clock at night. We've been at this for 5 hours. And the one red thread I know about my husband is he's not like me when it comes to consuming food. I'm the guy that I can just keep going. And then when we're done, then we eat. But I know that he reaches his point where he's got to have fuel. And so I said, I think we need to stop. We need to just, this can happen tomorrow. It wasn't so much out of my need to eat, but I knew that if we kept pushing, we would get somewhere we didn't need to be. And that's understanding the red thread of your partner. It's like, understanding what makes them tick, and that's just a simple example of it. But
yeah,
this is where when you start to thread all of this together, then hopefully, yes, it will come up roses and unicorns, so to speak.
And it's not always because, you know, no two red threads are alike, which means there are going to be times when you rub up against, you know, there, like I said, there's times when second mouse gets the cheese, rubs up against, you know, a stitch in time saves nine. And that momentary like, that's going to come as a result because you're like, why don't you see it the way I see it? Darn it. But, you know, I think that one thing I know that Tom and I have learned about each other is that, you know, for both of us, it's a very, you know, a goal is to be heard. And for both of us, communication is a skill. And so, you know, I think the most important things that we do and say to each other every day is your head empty? And what we mean by that is there something that is in your head that you want to say, but haven't yet said yet, you know, haven't yet expressed? Because, you know, a thing that we both learned in our previous relationships is that it's in those unexpressed things that things go bad. And so, you know, that question, is your head empty? Like, we have a deal. It's like, you have to answer that question honestly. And you can answer it with, no, but I'm not ready to talk about it, which you know, the other person then has to accept, or, you know, no, and here's what I need to express, and, or yes. And it's just, but that check to make sure that, you know, it does both things for us. It means that need to be heard is always there. And it allows us to frame in a place of strength our ability to articulate what we're thinking. usually in a supportive way, because it's been asked in a supportive way. It's not like, what's wrong with you? But like, is your head empty? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But I think that absolutely for us, I know, is a thing that is a, you know, an early pattern in our relationship, and one that we sustain daily now. And it's continued to be very important.
And, you know, I usually end this by asking, what would you give advice on if somebody's trying to uncloset themselves and live their red thread? But I think you just dropped the value bomb right there. Because that is, your head empty is a beautiful way to really be in your truth.
Yeah.
To release yourself. And it's a bold move. It's a bold move to be able to ask a question like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bold move to be able to hear what comes out of the other person's mouth too. But it's also, and here's where Rick's just going to wrap the red thread right tight around this, it's a beautiful way to live your life uncloseted. So thank you, girlfriend.
My pleasure.
You. I love these conversations we have. And yes, the check is in the mail for all the stuff you do. But I love what Tamsin does. If you are someone who is struggling with your messaging, you're a speaker trying to figure out what's next, I know you've got a TEDx course you're going to start working on. So
yep.
I definitely want to promote that. So as soon as everything will be on the show page for this so that you can see, and please connect with Tamsin. It is without a doubt, and she isn't paying me for this, it was one of the highlights of 2017 for me.
Oh my goodness.
Really,
thank you.
It helped tremendously. This podcast would not be where we are today without some of the input that you gave it. And I know you see it. You see it every day as I do this work. So thank you so much for being you and bringing yourself fully to the conversation, which I had no doubt that you would do.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure, Rick. Thank you so much.
And that's it. That's a wrap. Another episode of Life Uncloseted has come to an end. But don't worry, we'll be back in just a couple of days with another episode with new guests, new tips, new tricks, new wisdom about how you can go live your life uncloseted. And you know what? A lot of people out there may not even know we exist. So if you feel so compelled, share us. Tell people about it. Give us a rating and review on iTunes. Share it from your phone, wherever you can. Spread the word, because the more people that we reach, the better the planet will be when everybody is living their life uncloseted. I'm Rick Clemens, the host of the show, that big, bold move expert, and that guy that constantly wants to help people step out, step up, and step into living their life uncloseted. Have a great couple of days, everyone, and we will be right back with you very, very soon. Take care.